be a great day for the church. I remember when I was up at Buffalo Ridge, they said, we're going to try to get all the charter members here. Of course, this church was formed in 17-something, so it's a little hard to do. So I was unable to do it, so that's the way it goes. Good to have you tonight, and glad you survived through the storm. Anybody lose trees, electricity? Anybody lose anything? Lose your mind? Okay, take your Bibles if we will. Good to have you online today as you're listening into the service. It is a beautiful day, as Danny said after that. Thank the Lord for it and rejoice in your blessings. Again, we want to take our Bibles and go to chapter 1. And we want to look there today, again, of Genesis chapter 1. We're looking at this book of Genesis, and we've already somewhat looked at the 6 days of creation. And then, of course, God did something here. So we're going to pick up tonight here in verse 26 tonight and chapter 1, because there's so much here that is so vital to understanding. I love the book of Genesis. I enjoy it. I love to spend time with it. And we find here in verse 26, God said, what? Let us. He didn't say, I will make man in my image. He said, let us. And so he's dealing here with the triunity of God. Here, God is a triunity. I remember in my classes as I was studying the Word of God, they would say it's okay to use the word Trinity, but it's really a triunity of three in one, and that is certainly true. And I thought about that. Of course, there is there's many triunities or trinities as we think of it. For obviously for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Trinity. But think of man. You know, man is a spirit, has a trinity to him. What you see is the third part of yourself. When you looked in the mirror, you look at others, you see the third part. What is that? That's the body. The two, and you go see the soul when it expresses itself in different ways. If you're angry, your soul will just show that through your body. But the most important part of you and of me tonight is the spirit. That is the creature. We're the only creature that God made that was in, we have a spirit, a relationship with God. And Marilyn was calling me in. I was upstairs doing some study, and she called me down and from my study. And she said, you better go to the, we call it the blue room, one of the guest rooms that we have. And we keep that door closed because we have these two cats. And one of them is Buddy, and he's a tuxedo cat. And he was asleep on the bed. She had stripped the bed, so she felt that was okay. But then she looked behind the bed, and here's this little squirt, this little female, have to be a female, of course, this little cat here. We call her Peaches. She happened to be one of the wild cats that was the mother had produced, and my son caught it. His wife, and they brought it in anyway. And Marilyn says, we've trained this well. Well, you look at the mess. She got into Marilyn's dried arrangements of flowers, and they were everywhere. And that little thing, when he saw, she kind of looked like, I'm in trouble. But that may express some feeling, but it's fairly, and she couldn't ask forgiveness the way we like, because she didn't tell her, Paul's going to say, God, forgive me. She didn't do that, because she doesn't have a spirit. And when animals die, they die. When you and I die as Christians, we live on. Hallelujah. Think with me here. So man is a trinity. Think about the heavens. We have three over there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul was called up to the what? Third heaven. There's three parts of heaven. I brought that out to you. There's the atmosphere. There's the astronomy where the stars, the moon, and the planets. Then they have the God's heavenly place. Then I think of that. There are there are time as past, present, and what? Past, present, and future. You think about that. And so we see these things. The heavens have the sun, the moon, and the stars. So God has dealt a great deal with a representing a triunity in creation. But think with me tonight about the Spirit. Look what he said over here in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. And if he's going to be in the image, we know it couldn't be in the physical, right? No man has seen God and what? Live. Jesus Christ is God, but he was covered with flesh. Covered with flesh when you see him in Scripture. And of course, we think here, look, likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish and so forth. Well, we'll get back to that. But think with me here as a Trinity. Now let's just take a few moments tonight and look at each part of our makeup tonight. Now the Spirit is God consciousness. God consciousness. Over there in the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he talks about the Spirit there. Now the Spirit is God consciousness. Now that's when you got born again. You didn't get born again in your flesh. How many here have born again bodies? Well, as I look out here, they don't look born again to me. You look up here, that's not a born again body. You don't have a born again soul. If you had a born again soul, you'd never sin. You'd never sin. But thank God you were born where? In your spirit. In your spirit. We realize here the Spirit is that God, it is that God conscious, the place, that's the place of our faith. That's where our faith lives. And so the Spirit is the control center of your spiritual life. It is the control center of that spiritual life tonight. You think about the fact that I early this morning went to prayer. I didn't do that I did that in my spirit. My spirit itself beareth witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. And so that is very important. It's the place of your conversion. And certainly it's the place of your communion with God there. Over there in John 4, he talks about that in verse 24. I'll not take time to deal with all these tonight. Time won't allow me. But I'm thankful today that I was converted in my spirit. And when the Bible says you are dead in trespasses and sin, it's not in your body that you're dead. It's in your spirit. There's no communion between you and God until you get born again. And a most wonderful thing what the Holy Spirit does. I remember before I was saved going on a search for God. Never did find him. Hallelujah, he found me. And he found you. And I'm thankful for that. And I had no ability to find God because I was what? Dead in trespasses. Then when I got born in my spirit, I had a hunger and a desire and you to commune with God. So it's the place of your conversion. It's the place of your communion with God. It's the place of your consecration to God. Now let me take a moment here. Look a couple of verses. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter for a moment. Go over there. That's called the Holy Spirit chapter, Romans 8. The longest chapter of the book of Romans is the 8th chapter. And you look there in verse 16. The Spirit itself, what? Beareth witness. That's the Holy Spirit. Bears witness with what? Our spirit, that's your human spirit, that we are the children of God. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He assures me through my spirit that I am a child of God. Now, he doesn't do that to my body, doesn't do that to my soul, because that's where your feelings are. We're going to get, and you'd be surprised how many people are relying on their feelings, whether they're going to heaven. That's a big mistake. That's a sin. Because you rely on that, you'll be lost half the time of your life. And so the Spirit is not only a place where you are converted, where you communion with God, but it's that place of concentration to God. Another reference. Go to Ephesians and go there to chapter 4 and look with me in verse 23. That's an important verse. and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. Let the spirit work on the mind and direct the mind, and you have to renew that. You do that every day. We're reminded over there in 2 Corinthians 4, though the outward man perish, the inward man, that's your spirit in your body, in your life, must be renewed. How often? Every day by day. And, you know, when I think it's a terrible thing when we get up in the morning and we forget that. We forget that. We're filled with all kind, and I think one of the biggest tricks of the devil is to fill us with things that don't count so we'll not spend any time renewing ourselves. Now, I believe the word renewed has a two meaning to it, to make new again. But think with me, there are people today who are not saved, their body is in control of every decision they make. Did you know that? It's body, soul, and spirit. Then there are some, particularly Christians, I know a lot of them, they're depending everything on their feelings. So it's soul, spirit, and body. But the way God wants it is spirit, soul, and body. The soul should be at the top. And I'll tell you, when you get up in the morning, you begin a day, your spirit normally is not in control. It's probably down here somewhere. And God says, get that up at the top where it belongs. Let that rule over your soul. Let it rule over your body. Okay? And that's important. Now, you do that by communion with God. And I find a lot of people are so busy. And I believe the devil uses busyness to keep her from renewing herself. So we start a day the wrong way. Now, we had an interesting day today. Right after my prayer time, man, my phone just rang off. I got somebody had a problem here, somebody had a problem here. These are in former churches that I pastored, and somebody here and somebody there. And Marilyn said, you're spending half the morning in on the telephone there. And I said, well, that's the way it is. And the problem with every one of those who called me, if I would have checked with them, not one of them had got along with God before early in the morning. And so the motions were in control. And they were out of control. They were out of control. And dealing with the situations of their life. So my advice to all of us is quiet yourself in the morning. Spend time with the one who can renew you. And then when you face these challenges of life, you'll have challenges. God will be able to give you victory. Now that's the spirit. That's the God consciousness of you. That's where your faith lies. That's where it is. Then there's the soul. That's self-conscious. Whereas the spirit is God consciousness. The soul is self-consciousness. And that's where feelings are involved. I don't know how many times I've counseled down through the years, and I remember one dear couple, and this dear wife, she must have used the word feel. I wrote it. She didn't know them, but I counted them. In our half-hour session, she used the word feel over 20 times. Everything was evolved around feelings. And she said to me, I don't feel that I love him anymore. Well, I shocked her, and I said, what's that got to do with being married? She looked at me like, are you on this planet or are you from someplace else? Oh, I love my wife. Number one, it's a command. And guess what? When I fulfill that, my feelings toward her are right. But if I don't show, and that was a real issue there. And she was, you know, women are responders. Did you know that, fellas? They are responders. And when we treat them right, they respond the right way. And how many times, I remember couple I was dealing with, and he said, yeah, we were driving outside the city limits, and she was mad at me and I was mad at her, and she wouldn't speak to me and I wouldn't speak to her. And as we drove by, there was a herd of donkeys there. She said, one of your relatives? And he said, yes, on my wife's side. And so they didn't get along. Relying on feelings. I'm reminded of the couple who were on an older couple on a trip, and everything was just fine. And all of a sudden, she said they had just been to a restaurant about 50 miles back. And she said, "Oh no, I forgot my purse." I mean, he came unglued. He said, "We're going to have to travel 100 miles, got to go back 50 and then go back 50. And I mean, all the way there, he was so mad at her and told her off. And when she stopped, said, "Go down and get your purse. Oh, by the way, while you're there, you might as well get my hat." Well, we laugh at that. The truth of it is, a lot of that happens because we rely on feelings. Rely on feelings. And there, that is the place of that. That's where your sin nature relies. Your sin nature does not reside in your spirit. It resides in your soul. That fallen nature. That's where selfishness, that's where, because everything is self-centered, whereas in your spirit is God-conscious. This is self-consciousness in there. Then there's the body. Now your body is world-conscious. Is world conscious. That's the physical. Whereas the spirit deals with the faith, soul deals with feeling, the body deals with the physical, the five senses, the things in our body. And we rely and thank the Lord for that. And when I look at my Bible there, I want you to look at something. Go back to our book of Genesis. And I want to do something real quick to show you here what I mean here. Now, when I think of the physical, I want you to notice chapter 2, the book of Genesis, and I want to look there at verse 20. Now, I want to jump ahead here, or go back, that is, and look at chapter 2, and look with me at verse 20. And I want you to see this. Is it verse 20? Hang on a minute. Stay with me. 25. I want you to go there. Look at verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. Now I'm going to go back to that later. But Adam said, this is when Eve was created. We're going to back on that. That's the first marriage ceremony. But look here in verse 23. And this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I'm going to go back to that later. But notice in verse 20, they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's before the fall. Before the fall. Adam and Eve wore no clothes, and there was no perversion of any kind here. They were husband and wife, which is right, and to have a relationship that they had. But they were not ashamed. Not until the fall. And when you come to the fall, they hid themselves from God after the fall there in the third chapter of Genesis. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. And look there with me. Both 7, verse 7 of chapter 3. And the eyes of them, this is after the fall, of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves and made themselves apron, and they were ashamed. Because now they have a nature they didn't have before. They have a sin nature. And they put on fig leaves. Now, I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but I want to tell you something. A lot of people dress as though they're only wearing fig leaves, not covering up their body adequately. And God's opposed to that. But we need to understand that and realize it. This is why standards have to be in your church. And leadership positions, because and our people must realize today, listen, lust is real in everyone's life. Understand that. Understand it's real. And we need to understand the reality of that and cover ourselves accordingly, because we have a nature that lusts. We have a nature that craves things that are not right. Now go back here with me and look here again with me. So we have here these three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now if you don't spend time with God and renew yourself every day, I guarantee you, your feelings will be in control. And then from there, it's a downfall. Now think with me now for a moment here. Think with me also the trust we must have in Nehemiah. Now I want to deal here again with chapter 2. So go there. We're looking here as God created Adam and Eve in chapter 2. Next time we're going to look at the fall, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks here. And so I will not be here next, is it next? No, the following Wednesday. Yes, I'll be here next Wednesday when our possible candidate comes. And so we want him to be here and take all the time he needs. Amen? Yeah, amen. That's right. We want you to get to know him. You already know me. And you're saying, even so, come new pastor. All right? All right. But look over here again at I want you to go to chapter 2, and I mean, I'll get to it. Chapter 2, and think with me now to verse 15. Because we see something. Now, after we dealt here with this triunity of God, triunity of man, those things are important because it helps us to understand the fall, which we'll see here, not today. But look here in verse 15, and I want you to see this. And the Lord God took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now the word dress, two words here, to dress it means to serve it. And the idea of to keep means to guard it. Now let me stop here. God did not make us to be lazy. Hello? He made us to have discipline, and you know the earliest form of worship that you find in the Bible was work. Now that don't you, you don't worship in the work, but you use the work to worship God. And so they were the very first thing that Adam and Eve were taught to do was to work, to keep and to guard the garden there. And it is very important that we realize this. And notice here again, and the Lord came, verse 16, so we look here, the sacred trust that God gave to Adam and Eve, a sacred trust. Look there in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou must eat, mightest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt, what? Surely die. Now get that. He was to keep the garden. He was to experience the blessings of God there to be able to guard it and keep it. But I want you to notice, he said here, and by the way, every tree you can eat of, but you can't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, immediately, the devil's going to use that and going to attack God with that. He said, oh, God's a tyrant. God's a tyrant. If he really loved you, he'd let you eat of any tree you wanted to. And the devil would like to do that with sin. He says, what do you think? What kind of God do we have to put restrictions how we dress, that we cover our bodies? Who does he think he is? He's God. That's who he is. And he's holy God. And may we recognize the truth of that. And so he could have of every tree but that tree. So we have the garden he was to keep, the goodness he was to experience, all the trees he could eat up freely. Now keep in mind, we'll deal with this later, but in those days before the flood and before all that, man did not eat meat of any kind. And they ate things of the tree and so forth. And so keep that in mind. And we're going to deal with that one later as well. But then notice the grief. If you eat of this, you'll surely, what? Die. Now stop here, folks, and think this one through. He did not die physically, did he? Did Eve die physically? Did she die? Did they die emotionally? No. Did they die? I mean, did they? No, because their feelings were involved. Matter of fact, They hid from God. That's because of their feelings. Where did they die then? In their spirit. The spirit became disassociated with God, where God normally communes with man, and that's where he died. And so they realized the grief there. And I want you to notice here also something else. We want to just move on here. So we realize as he created this wonderful garden, by the way, there was no weeds. Boy, I got plenty of weeds at my place. You have weeds at your place ever since the fall. But before that, he simply just snapped all, made the trees shape. He wanted to shape them, you know. He doesn't do what my wife said. And we have bushes. If some of you have been in our home, we have bushes. And we have to have them trimmed regularly. And Marilyn said, you know, I wish we could have them trimmed in such a way that they don't look like they've been trimmed. I don't want to cut my grass that way. I want my grass to look like it's been cut. Amen. I know what she means. I'll hear about this one too. But keep in mind here, she meant make them real nice. Can somebody get me a little water? I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I want you to notice as we come down here to verse 21. And now he names, when you think about it, in verse 18, it is good, the Lord God said, is it not good that man should be alone? I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I was a very highly intelligent person. And Adam gave the names to all the cattle, the fowls of hair, to every beast of the field. Think with me, back up in verse 18, he said, I'll need to make him a helpmate. And when Adam looked around at all these animals, all these creatures, these birds and everything that were created, he's saying to himself, these are not satisfying what I want. I have a feeling that he says, well, that's a nice giraffe. I'll name it a giraffe. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. But the truth of it is, he and I don't have anything in common. But then God decided to create a woman. And I know we joke a lot about that. And I thank God for my wife. I'm glad she's a woman. Not because she's just female, but sometimes to say, whoa, man. Slow down, John. And she has her way. I'll tell you something. Women have a sense of perception that we men don't have. I'm convinced of that. Really, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. God made them to be that kind of a helpmate to us. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm glad for it all the way. Now, sometimes that perception she has that I don't have, I don't appreciate until I'm in trouble and she gets me out of it. But look here in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out of his rib and clothes of the flesh, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into man. Somebody said, and she's been ribbing us ever since. No, that's not what this means. But keep in mind, they didn't take it out of his head to rule over him. Under his feet to be trampled on. But what? Out of his side. To walk with him as he would go through life. And thank God for a good helpmate. And I hope that you'll appreciate the helpmate that God has given you and be thankful. We will be celebrating here in October 59 years. And we often joke about our marriage life, but thank the Lord for it. And next year we'll be 60. This year we'll both be 80. Next year 60 years of marriage. If she stays with me, I told her if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. You heard me say that. And so we see here, and so this is the this is there. Then look at verse 23 and 24, 25 as we close this chapter. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now you can write Ephesians 5 right near that and read that chapter in regards to it. This is the first marriage ceremony in Scripture. And the preacher was God who put them together. And I thank God I've done many a weddings. And what I do is this: every time I remind them this is not their wedding. This is God's wedding. God is in charge of the wedding. And so I tell them that. God has put you two together. You didn't do that. God did that. God led you to be here to be married, and it's his marriage ceremony. His. I'm just the one you can see and perform the marriage ceremony, but God's in charge of your life. And I'll tell you that, I get a kick out of a man and a woman getting married at a ceremony. And I do this. Marilyn asked me not to do these things, but I have fun doing them. The night of the wedding rehearsal, I never could figure out why the husband shows up to be husband-to-be. He's really not needed. Everything is focused on the bride. And he'll say to me, and I'll get the two together, and I'll put my arms around him, and I say, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord Jesus comes tonight? This is the wedding rehearsal. I've not had one yet get all excited about the Lord's coming that night. Not one of them. Maybe a year later. Maybe a year later, but not that night of the wedding rehearsal. They're looking forward to tomorrow as they're united. And I always go over and always do marriage counseling. Several weeks of marriage counseling. There was one couple, I made them wait another year. They wanted me to do it. They weren't ready. And I said, I don't believe this God is in this tonight, or in this week, and they agreed to it. I believe God honors that. And I do believe also the marriage ought to be as much possible in the church. We've disassociated marriages today with the church. We need to get back to Bible. The church is the place to get married. Somebody say amen. And the church is so vital to a married couple. I'm always excited when a couple gets engaged and she comes in that into the church the day she gets her wedding ring or her engagement ring. And she normally would be, hi, how are you today? But this day it's this way. I had one young lady even worked it out with the sun coming through the window to kind of blind people with that diamond. She was so proud of it, so thankful for her. And that's the way, in a sense, it ought to be, because we're engaged. We're going to become one. And the day of the wedding, that beautiful bride comes down the aisle, and everybody stands for her. Doesn't care if he's there or not. And I remember that so well, so many times. But let me say this. We're all going to appear before the marriage supper of the Lamb. And guess what? Bride won't be the most important one. It'll be the groom. We'll stand for Jesus Christ as we are united to him in spiritual unity as God puts us together. And I rejoice in that. And so we see here, again in verse 24, get this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. And I don't know how many times that the in-laws have interfered in marriages. Now, don't ever do that. I told my son, if it didn't work out, don't come back home. You're not welcome. Told my daughter the same thing. You work it out. because it's so vital that you do that. And sometimes, somebody said one time, in the case when in-laws get involved, somebody said, what do you do when you miss your in-laws? Reload in this case. Because they have no business trying to run this couple's lives. And all God's people said, all right, thank you so much. That was an unusual lesson, wasn't it? But I enjoyed every moment of it. Thank you, brother.